Good morning. Today is Wednesday, September the 30th. Holy snarkies, what happened? We're three quarters of the way through the year.
Yeah, and it's been a hell of a year.
Yes, joining us this morning for the year that we want to forget, Rex Bone. I don't know if we want to forget you or not. It goes both ways.
There's a certain amount that do.
Yeah. Are you ready for our why do we say that?
I'm good until it's a majority, I've been told.
Yeah. All right. Oh, this is actually cool. For this week, this is fun. Sunday. Where and when did the ice cream sundae get its name?
Because that was the treat kids got to go to after mass, church, and sitting through a very boring, not always, sermon.
You're kind of in the neighborhood there. I'm going to go through the whole thing because I can pronounce some of these Indian names.
I'm just happy to be close.
Yeah. In the 1890s at E.C. Berner's Ice Cream Store in Two Rivers, Wisconsin, been there. One night, Berner's sold a dish of vanilla ice cream to a boy named George Heller. George saw a bottle of chocolate syrup, which was used for the sodas, and had a great idea. Put some of that chocolate syrup over this ice cream, he asked. Other customers tried it and liked it. Soon the combination became very popular in Two Rivers and spread to other areas like Manitowoc. See, I know these names. I've been there, baby.
They make freezers and refrigerators, yeah. Don't they? Yeah,
yeah,
there you go.
The only drawback was the expense of selling both the syrup and the ice cream for a nickel. So they got together and decided to sell the dessert for a nickel on Sundays.
After church.
Only. Yep. Shortly afterward, a little girl came in, said, I want a nickel's worth of ice cream with the stuff on it. He explained that it sold for a nickel only on Sundays. Then, this must be Sunday because I want that kind, she said. The name is the spelling of the word that came about at a later date and was the invention of an unknown merchant who wished to make his concoction seem more fancy.
There you go.
Yeah, isn't that appropriate for this week, huh? Holy cow. We thought we were through this stuff.
Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, mamas and papas, right?
No, I'm hungry.
Yeah. Oh, gee. So with all of the activity that is going on out there, is it tempting or is it easy to forget everything else that's going on?
No, because there's such an overlay to it. I mean, you see it in the OES having to, you know, we last week at this time, it looked like we'd escaped the inevitable at Ruth and the fires and up there at Watts Lake and above that side, above Blocksburg and all that. And then you saw what happened last Sunday when, you know, Sunday and Monday were a 20-acre fire turned into 12,000 in 36 hours.
Yeah, that's amazing to me. I still have a tough time trying to figure out the Paradise Fire. Right, I think we've had the conversation before. How does a fire go faster than a car? I don't get it, but it did.
A lot faster.
You know, we had a lot of the winds over the weekend, you know, and you could smell the smoke all of a sudden. You knew something was going on.
Yeah.
It just is.
I think we've, you know, my new neighbors that live across the street from me, which I think I've said before on the radio station, the greatest neighbors in the world, but they are from Paradise. Or Magalia, and they lost everything, and their daughters lost everything. Now they're teaching school here, and they love it here, you know, except for their neighbor, I guess. But
yeah.
But it's some of the things, the PTSD, sometimes she suffers from it. And then she sent me today that, you know, Paradise, or not today, but Monday, Paradise sent out another evacuation notice.
Is there anybody there? There must be
somebody. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of the town stayed.
A lot of the mobile stuff? Or was it new construction over the last year?
No, it's a lot of the stuff that was already there. But a lot of it is people getting evacuated from where they rebuilt, too. I remember they buy your contents in your house. They don't pay for your land.
Right.
So, I mean, because you still have your land. So that's, you know, that's, I mean, but they were taken care of very well and things like that, you know. So I worry about some of these places out at Ruth because fire policies, insurance policies are so extreme out there. Some people say, well, it's just a cabin, I won't insure it. Now then they realize, oh my gosh, because a lot of our friends lost their structures out there in the last few days.
That was the working phrase Dad had as we were growing up. Yeah, it's just a cabin. If you're off a quarter inch, it's just a cabin.
Yeah, it's just a cabin. That quarter inch is at the bottom. It's 6 inches when you get to the wide part. Yeah, remember
that. Yeah, you get to the wide part or the pizza. Yeah, it gets ugly pretty quick. Is it too early to try to figure out what's going on with all this stuff? You know, it seems as if it's a lot of natural. And there's not a heck of a lot you can do. And yeah, you can sweep up the leaves and you can do some of the cutbacks and things of that nature. But when it gets roaring like it has, you know, with the wind aiding it, there's really not too much you can do.
I mean, up at Ruth, and if you've been to Ruth over the last couple of years, you could see where there were dead and dying trees in some of the areas. And some of them are a lot of trees. I mean, an excess of trees per acre than we are used to. And so they have to fight for water. And when there is a shortage of water, and this isn't new to us, there are that we have had droughts before. But when you have that many trees fighting for the same amount of water, some don't survive. They die, and then you have dry fuels. And as Bob Mertz said, who's head of Humboldt and Mendocino Redwood, he says none of these spontaneously combusted. You needed some weather, you needed something to combust, and you needed some, you know, and you needed fuels. And there's a lot of fuels in the forest. Now, has the weather helped that? Has climate change helped that? But I don't believe so. I think we have affected the climate. I'm sure we have, because we affect everything else. To the degree they're saying, I don't know, without going on a limb and, you know, everybody, you know, their heads exploding, saying I'm a climate denier. I'm not.
It could be a dead tree that you're on that limb on, too.
Yeah, but
be careful.
But I believe the science. But are they helping the fires? I would imagine. Are they the whole creation of the fires? No, because I've been working in these woods for over 45 years, going in and out and everything else. And the access to a lot of these areas used to be a lot better. We used to access them. Now we don't access them. We let them burn, and they get out of control, or it seems like.
You know, knew Jim Davis, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Jim said that when he retired, Six Rivers National Forest, minimum, was going to be 230 million board feet. Yeah, what was the last time it was over 100 million or 50 million?
They just
don't do that.
I don't think they've hit 10 million.
Yeah, so you look at that. Of course, there's going to be a whole lot more fuel down there. And then you get into a dry cycle like this, things happen.
And it just picks up speed. It's like, it depends, you know, they hold the soapbox derby out for a reason on a hill, because the steeper it is, the faster the cars go.
Ooh. All right, more heavy thoughts when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop with noted philosopher Rex Bone.
Yeah. Yeah. Put five words together in one sentence.
That's funny. Downhill, you go faster. Yeah. Okay. You know what happens in
Steeper
the reverse?
Hill, yeah.
Yeah. You slow
I go
down.
Slower if I'm going up the hill.
Yeah. there's probably a parallel around the kitchen table, too.
There is.
The more food there is, the more you eat, right?
Obviously.
Yeah. Oh, gee. Looking at some of this stuff, you were talking about in the first segment, the fuel load that's in there, either on the ground or the dead trees. Okay. There's all the bug trees also that are all over the place
that weren't being knocked down.
I would suspect that those are firecrackers just waiting to explode.
Well, we have there's a tree mortality task force put together by the governor, who RCRC is very active with, because obviously majority of the trees are in the rural forests, so... and that's a huge deal. I mean, that's a huge, because they don't know what to do with them. So, I mean, we're looking at the
point.
Can't
you burn them? Chip them?
It sure seems to me, instead of spending the billions we're spending on fighting these fires now, it almost looks like we'd be better off subsidizing the cleaning, you know, the thinning of the forest, the dead and dying trees and stuff like that, and underwriting the cost of doing biomass. I mean, we get the.
Ayana's been talking to you.
Yana is so far ahead of this game. She gets it. And I've been so involved with biomass since the first plant was built, you know, when we built the first plant here. So, you know, I mean,
It seems really logical. Is there a special interest
group
in opposition to biomass?
Oh, yeah.
Because it seems so straightforward. If you can't mill it, you still got to get it out of there. Or if it's little branches and stuff that you can't even chip, you still got to get it out of there. Otherwise, it's going to sit there and become potential fuel.
There's a group that, I mean, Yana's part of that and so many other people. I think we have 58 biomass plants in California. I think less than 25 are operating because the contracts with PG&E are, I mean, right now, natural gas 10 years ago was up around $10. Now it's down to, I mean, a lot cheaper. I mean, and if PG&E raises our rates, we're gonna scream like hell. So in turn, we have to, they have to supply the cheapest power so they can do the upgrades and everything they need to do. Nothing against them or anything like that. But somewhere in here, we subsidize, and I don't know, but I think we still subsidize tobacco farmers. And so I'm still sitting here, the farming community, which I think is great because they cut back on what they grow to keep the price up. I understand
pretty safe
that.
To say that on the West Coast, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. If I was in North Carolina, I'd be wrong. Yeah, yeah.
You'd be back out on that limb again.
I don't know. Rex was here yesterday. I haven't seen him. No, but what I'm saying, which I'm not saying anything against that, but we have our agriculture and stuff has a way of subsidizing. This is a way to subsidize our forests to make it available to, I mean, and the other thing is if you want to create jobs, maybe we subsidize a forest so if there's merchantable timber that needs to be thinned for the health of our forest. Because, I mean, if you take a look at all these fires, I've been talking to the forest companies, not very many of them started in the private forest. They started in the public forest.
That's what I've heard also,
And leached over into SPI, Green Diamond.
Right.
You know, they lost a big section up in Del Norte. I mean, there has been some losses and stuff like that. So maybe we need to work a little harder and look with, and kind of like somebody called me today who was just completely didn't care one way or the other. Sat there, I said, can't you guys all get in the room and do what's best for all of us? And it sounds so simple. It just amazes me that we can't. But
you know my definition of that, to end up with an effective and efficient plan?
What?
Okay, you get everybody in there. First thing we do is we lock the doors. After we've brought in the cold beer
yeah.
and sodas.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, free beer and soda, knock your socks off.
No restroom.
You're right. You're not getting, nobody leaves until we have a deal.
Well, I'm just saying, I think.
You're right. I mean, you get everybody together and you just kind of do it.
And I'm not a forester. I don't know. I'm not. I don't know the exact way to do this, but I know the way that that it seems to have worked in the past, and I've certainly seen the what the logging practices of the last more stringent has allowed them to do. So maybe if we're going to put those kind of restrictions on them as we do other industries, maybe we do put those, but we underwrite them. Instead of fighting the fires this way and losing our air quality, I mean I know 8 or 10 people I know that are locked inside their house because they don't dare go outside in this, and they don't have bad breathing, but their lung capacity and age has dropped a little bit.
Well, you remember, there were whole industries around people going in salvage harvesting.
Yeah,
and that was part of what we used to do, and now I don't know what happened to it other than just philosophical changes in Sacramento.
Well, salvage logging is still a very good business for lawyers that sue against it. No, what? I'm just saying we need to look at the bigger picture, and I don't think we can point our finger. I mean, we can point it on at ourselves. We can point it at the Forest Service. We can
isn't necessarily a positive thing.
No, I mean I think because even when we quote unquote went natural. And we look back on our forefathers were here, our native Indians were here. They all talk about Indian burning. I just saw a big report saying if we went back to the simple ways of what the Native Americans did in the 1800s about burning the undergrowth and everything else, we would have better, healthier, and we wouldn't have these big of issues. So
yeah, the big fires. Yeah.
Again, I don't know if that's right, but it sure should be in the dialogue.
And it doesn't happen right now.
No. The problem is everybody wants it their way, and that's the only way it's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, kumbaya only goes so far.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth? KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood. Did you hurt yourself?
No.
You're just kind of walking a little stiff coming in. I didn't know. You're just trying to be active again, aren't you?
Seven operations on one knee. I wish it was because it's going to rain.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, so. I mean, these fires, I mean, they're so devastating. And we should give a shout out to, the local people at the power plant. They're suffering PSPSs all around us, and we're islanded.
The plan's working here.
It's great when a plan comes together. I appreciate them putting the time, effort, and money into that. Everybody says it should have been that way in the beginning, and maybe it should have been, but it wasn't. But it is now. So
if it is now, I mean, you can't really squawk too loud.
You know, I've always said disasters or things like this, they don't just bring the best out in people. The best is always in there. This just gives them a chance to shine. I mean, you look up at the Bear River Bend of the Ronerville Ranchery. Those guys, they have had an evac center up there. Where they're feeding.
I was going to ask you about that versus the fairgrounds.
Well, the fairgrounds stepped back. Red Cross stepped back because they had to go so many other places, and they were kind of a little bit.
Okay, so you guys got stretched then. Okay.
Bear River kept theirs open because there was only a few people needing it. And then, starting Monday, Sunday, the way things were happening out at Ruth and Mad River and stuff like that, they had a few more people showed up and talked with the tribal chair, and they opened. They had it open, but they put an on-call, got everybody coming in. They were feeding them. Giving them cots, they've got showers, towels, blankets, everything else. And the thing is, they don't have to do that, but they did it. So I think that was, my hat's off to Bear River. I think their tribal leadership stepped up and made a difference. Now we're opening. I think it's back open now. Is out there at the fairgrounds for small animals and big animals.
And yeah, the critters are a whole different dynamic.
Yeah,
aren't
it's
they?
Just yeah. It was yeah. I was out there for a couple nights in a row, and they were bringing them in left and right. So
you weren't trying to auction them again.
No, I was not. I would thought about it though. which since you gave me that, but anyway, that worked out really well in the last batch 3 weeks ago. But I do have to give a shout out to everybody that helped with the Humboldt County Fair's Junior Livestock Virtual Auction too. That killed it. I mean, they did so well. The kids got good money for their animals, and it was brand new to everybody, and it worked. And a lot of effort was made by a lot of advisors, a lot of parents, and it was new for a lot of kids, and the kids really stepped up with the help of the advisors and their parents. So I thought it went really well.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, I'm sure for them also. But for us, we had a number of the kids come in and do the ads and, the kind of the shock and the awe part. Yeah. It was like, neat that everybody was kind of having some fun.
It was a fun day because I sat in front of a computer all day with a couple friends. We were bidding on a couple different animals. And everything we bid on, it didn't matter until the last 20 minutes anyway. He kind of showed up in the last 20 minutes and jumped right in.
Kind of like an eBay auction.
Yeah. It does. Like I always tell people, you don't get anything for bidding 10 times. You just have to be the last bidder.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of like that theory about the bear, right?
Yes.
You don't have to be the fastest, I have to be faster than you. Yeah.
No, so anyway, I think a lot of people really stepped up. And, Pay It Forward, Humboldt, Desiree, they just rock it. And I can't it amazes me how many people step up and help her. And I think we must have given away the last time when we were at the fairgrounds probably 50 tents, 60 tents, 75, 80 sleeping bags, and this was all people that went to all the stores and bought them all out. There wasn't a tent or a sleeping bag to be found for a while.
Kind of like a generator.
Yeah,
a couple months ago.
Kind of like a generator. Now I think there's a whole bunch for sale right now.
Slightly used. Oh, wouldn't it be cool to get through a period of time where we didn't have to know this stuff as intimately? Yeah, no earthquakes, no floods, no fires. We just had like normal. year and a half, just normal again. I was talking, well, Rob was on Monday and was saying that in their properties, they're seeing a lot of retail reopening in malls.
Yep.
That it's, and I have a supposition that people are trying to go back to a simpler. Okay, buying on site is part of that.
Well, just, online went so big during the pandemic.
And then things and get locked up, too.
Well, I think people found out it doesn't always fit. It's not always what I wanted.
Right.
So I think they want to go touch, feel, and smell it.
Yeah. I mean, and that's part of, at least for me, the tactile experience of
and
doing.
And the human contact. That's kind of like, it's kind of, I'm excited for the schools that are opening because it's making a difference in the kids. The schools that aren't opening, kids are having some issues. I get a lot of parents actually calling. I said, I don't have anything to do with schools. But their kids are just having a tough time without the interaction.
Right. Well, yeah, and being in that environment. Yeah. Rather than being at home
in
the bedroom.
I think they just don't like the teacher they're stuck with at home.
Yeah. Whip that one out every once in a while. Yeah. Just keep them honest, huh?
I figured right now, if you were a teacher, this is a good time to ask for a raise. Because everybody's going to go, oh, hell, you deserve it. Yeah. And I firmly believe they do.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back. Final segment this morning with Mr. Rex Bone. I don't know why I did that, but okay.
Made me sound formal.
Well, maybe it's because you're wearing tennis today.
I am wearing tennis today. A little relaxed, Dad. Running all over the place.
What is going on with the day-to-day at the county? I mean, you mentioned OES. Billy's out running, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. You got the turnover with the health officer, and you know whether she's there on a part-time or not part, probably on an interim basis until you find somebody else. All the departments, I would suspect, are being impacted one way or another. Is it a Chinese fire drill, or is everybody kind of processing this as normal as can be?
2 months ago, you asked me that, I'd give you a different answer. Right now, I'm going to tell you right now that a lot of the departments, you know, we've got people loaned out to the JIC, the Joint Information Center, so that's starting to weigh on some departments because after a while you can only shuffle off and you still have to get
you're still running short.
The working from home, albeit that is very convenient for some people, that may be something we take up and you get your job responsibilities and this is what you have to get done for the week wherever you do it, you know, and things like that. But every you still have to have a brick and mortar presence because some people want to come in, they want to ask questions, they don't want to do it through a screen. And I don't know if I'm ready to be the one that says, no, we're going to do everything virtual. Because I'm not ready to do everything virtual, so I don't know. It would be really hard for me to tell other people that. I hate the meetings. I want to see people when they want. I want to let them come into the chambers. Some of the counties have opened up. Shasta's open.
And really? Shasta is?
Shasta has open board meetings. You can pull them up online. They stack their people that want to talk in public comment. And they let them in group for items that are on there that they're talking to generally. It's a process. It's not easy. It's not easy, but
neither is virtual.
But nobody said government was easy.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you're there. You don't drop calls. You don't drop off. Your computer doesn't get overloaded. You don't have to worry that somebody doesn't live close to Wi-Fi and can't get a good signal and has to call in. It's the way business has always been run. And so I look forward to back to those days because I think the people deserve that.
And different is okay.
Different's fine. And we have been able to keep that end of the county business going. So we've been able to make decisions, move things forward and things like that. And all the departments, I think, are open with doors open. I think some of them are still by appointment because some people are working from home because we're working out the spacing and things like that. So, I mean, the staff at Humboldt County has stepped up and worked really, really hard at it. The CAO's office and the department heads have done a great job on being able to move their people around and get them into a system where it works so they can provide the services they need to provide. And, you know, DHHS, mental health, those kind of things, That's the hard one because that's the biggest monster we have. I mean, that's our biggest.
Well, and that's one-on-one times a thousand.
It really is, you know, and I always think when people have a mental health issue, I don't think I want them talking to a computer screen, just me, and then it fails, and then they're, you need that calming voice and that eye-to-eye with them, and hopefully we get back to that. We are in some forms.
So it's kind of starting to creep back.
It's creeping back as we go and as we're more careful, but I mean, you know, I mean, it's simple. I mean, I ask people to wear a mask. I says, I'm not an anti-masker, but I understand if they irritate you, and I understand some places you can go, you don't have to. As long as you're careful, that's your decision, but it's carrying it to somebody else. That's what scares me. But as long as you're careful all the way around, protect our most vulnerable, I'm not going to advocate for that, but I understand we are still, you know, some people have trouble wearing a mask, don't want to wear a mask, and that's them. But our county as a whole is doing pretty good, and our numbers are showing that we're doing pretty good. Right. We're like number 12 or 11th in the state out of 58 counties. And if you go by population, I think
this is like a golf score.
Yeah. I mean, we're doing better. You know. Yeah. But the thing is, there's like 25 counties that, you know, are smaller than us, and that means we're ahead of about 15 of those.
Which is really kind of intriguing.
No, we're doing good. We're doing good. I mean, we're spread out, but we're doing good.
Well, and just a lot of interaction going on, too. Different people from different communities.
Yeah.
Because we still, to what extent, I don't know, but we have had a tourist season.
Yeah. No, we had tourists. We had, and we got through it. And we can, but you also have to leave a good example for your tourists. You got to wear a mask if you want them to wear a mask.
Yeah, and that's a bit of the rub. So
you know, and it is, and I understand, and I'm not going to argue with anybody about it. I'm going to wear mine every time I remember to put it on, and try to be as careful as possible. That's the best I can do.
That's the bottom line. Stay away from matches, okay?
Stay away from matches.
All righty. Thanks for coming in.
You bet.
See everybody tomorrow.